This podcast is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Hello, my name is Alison Spittle. You're very welcome to the Alison Spittle Show. I feel like that hello was very Mrs. Doubtfire. Ah, feck it. Come here. This week's guest is Michael Fry. Michael Fry is a funny fella on the internet. He is at Big Dirty Fry, and he's very funny on Twitter. And he's also got a new sketch show with Joe.ie called Big Dirty Fridays. So I had a chat with him earlier. Have a listen here. This is the Michael Fry.
Hello, Alison Spittle. How are you?
Good. How are you getting on?
I'm grand. I just ran up the stairs there, so I'm kind of a little bit out of breath.
Nice.
But I'm good.
And you're drinking a bottle of blue liquid there?
Blue Energizer.
Nice.
Yes, to energize me for this next hour.
That's what I need from this podcast, is energy.
Energy.
So where are you from?
I'm from Navan in County Meath.
Navan?
Yes.
Oh, the palindrome town.
The palindrome town, yeah. It's a bit... Yeah, the only good thing about Navan, I would say.
But yeah.
Not really, but yeah.
I've seen so many chipper fights in Navan.
Yeah, I remember, because you said it on the, I think it was the Sharon Horgan's
episode
or whatever, because she's from Meath as well. But yes, there's a chipper in Navan that I've never been to because there's always fights. There's always chairs thrown outside and stuff. So I won't name the particular chipper just in case we get sued, but yeah.
You're very good. Is it a chain that makes kebabs?
It's not a chain, no.
Oh.
No, it's an independent one. And I don't know how they make money because it's always just fights.
Maybe they charge in for tickets to see it as like a wrestling kind of thing.
That would be excellent.
Yeah. I would watch like a wrestling kind of Chipper Fights Federation type thing, you know?
I would love that. There's a tweet there from a guy that I follow. His name's Jurassic Arse, and
nice.
He's from Kells. And he was saying he went to break up a fight in a chipper, and he woke up the next day and there were chips in his hood pocket, in his hood and in his pockets, which I just think is amazing.
That
someone's
is
throwing
funny.
So much chips at him that they just like collected in his coat. But, yeah,
it's like raining chips. And
yeah.
How long have you been living in Dublin?
I went to college here, so I was here for 4 years, and then I lived in Northern Ireland for a year.
Right.
And then I came back, so.
Where did you live in Northern Ireland?
I lived in Coleraine.
Coleraine.
Or Port Stewart, whichever, you know, that kind of triangle area in the
right.
North Coast. So whenever I said, oh, I'm moving up the North, everyone's like, oh yeah, so you decided to move to Belfast. And I was like, I'm not going to Belfast. They're like, oh, Derry then. I was like, no. And they're like,
Lisburn?
Oh, Jesus Christ, where are you going? So,
What's like a big difference between Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland?
Yeah, because I was asked this before, and I was asked at the time by somebody who was like, belonged to one of the political parties up there. So they're like, you know, is there a difference between, you know, up north and down south?
Yeah.
And I was like, there is actually. And she was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, oh shit, sorry. I was just like, it's cheaper. that's what I said. But there is a little difference. And it's not huge, but I think they're kind of a bit more kind of open and a bit more like, they just don't take any shit, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they're lovely as well. Like, do you know, I think they get a real kind of bad rep as like aggressive people, but they just would do anything for you. But at the same time, are not afraid to tell you, yeah, fuck off. Do you know
You've
what I mean?
You've done like, them wrong, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I suppose they've gone through a peace process that they're able to be upfront about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? Even like, I went to like, I was in a black taxi tour with a friend of mine from Belfast.
Yeah.
And your man was talking in the front of the taxi and she just goes, can't hear you. And he just was like, just spoke louder. And I was like, God, that sounds really rude, but like, it's just fine. That's just the way they say things to each other. So,
yeah.
I don't
know. Jesus. Yeah. What, where did you go on the black taxi tour? Like,
I went to all the murals. It was very intense. It was a very intense kind of 2 hours or whatever it was. But
yeah.
It was really interesting because I suppose I didn't know anything about the North. I didn't do like Leaving Cert history or anything like that. So I had absolutely no idea. But it was like cool and quite grim in certain areas. But like, you know, very interesting. And then we did the Titanic and we were just so tired. We were like, fuck this. Because it's all about like yarn and stuff like that in the Titanic Museum. So I don't know.
And it, like, it's mad that they have a museum like to dedicate to a ship that sank that they made.
It's really weird. Yeah, it's kind of...
Are they self-aware about that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's just like such a big money maker. I don't know if it was would have been so big if the film hadn't happened.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But yeah, they ran with it. They've just torn the arse out of it. And it's like, you know, we're going to make as much money as we can on this because it was a horrible tragedy and let's hope something good comes out of it.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Tourism for Belfast. It's like a Europa hotel. They're always going, it's the most bombed hotel.
Hotel Europe.
Yeah.
Yes.
Used to be the world.
Oh, right.
But I think somewhere took it over. Maybe in the Middle East or something like that.
I was going to say, we better fix that. It's like, no, we shouldn't actually. That's probably good.
I know. Get that record back. And what would you describe your job as?
So my job title is Junior Social Creative.
Okay.
At joe.ie. But I'm basically the Instagram person. So I do a lot of commercial stuff. But occasionally I'll do kind of fun things like quizzes, or I will do like, you know, we're here at this thing and this is funny, and you know, and then at the moment I'm kind of writing stuff for them as well, which is fun.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah. And how does one get into that job?
It was bizarre actually. So when I was living up the north, I actually worked for Tourism Ireland. So I did like a graduate program and was up there, and the videos broke because I was, you know, quite lonely up the north. There was not a whole lot to do, and it's quite a small town. Like,
yeah,
I'd say it would be like a third of the size of Navan. Like, Navan's quite small anyway, but like it's not small, but it's like, you know,
yeah,
it's not a city. So I had a sheer boredom. I started doing the videos, and yeah, the Derry Londonderry one broke and went crazy, and then I just kept getting kind of messages from people being like, "Do you want to do a podcast? Do you want to do this, that, and the other?" And eventually, one of the guys at Joe messaged me being like, "We've an opening here," and I was like, "Oh no, I can't, you know, I can't leave my grad program," and you know, yeah, that kind of thing. But I decided I went down south, back down south anyway, because it just kind of didn't work out. But they got back onto me again, seeing I was in Dublin, and were like, "Do you want to come work for us?" I was like, "Yes." So thank God, so I came back. But yeah,
what's it like to work for a company like Joe? Because Joe.ie is like a internet-based company in Ireland, and Ireland's not that big.
Yeah.
So it seems like to be one of the only like homegrown kind of internet companies here. Do they have like foosball or
anything? I get asked that question all the time.
Yeah. I just imagine it's like full of beanbags.
That's what everyone says, and everyone's like, "Oh, do you have a nap room? Have you got hammocks? Have you got this, that, and the other?"
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we just have like, everyone's very young, so it's very hip in that way. There is a dog. We do have an office dog.
Where does it live at night?
Goes home with a graphic designer who works for us. So okay. It's just very chill. Just wanders around the office, which is nice for morale, I guess. But we don't have any kind of like, I'd love a nap room.
Yeah, a nap room.
But
good.
That's all we have. So you know what I mean? But it's still very modern and very cool.
What happens if the dog takes a shit?
I've never come across that actually. I don't know how. I think the dog has been there longer than I have. So
can you sort it out with HR?
We did have a long run joke that the dog had been like, because we've never seen it in like this glass room,
yeah,
where like the boss sits, and we're like, "Oh my god, Lexi's getting fired," or like, you know what I mean? Or it's just like, "Lexi, you're not hitting your targets. You're not a." You know, she's, or there's a complaint that, you know, someone sent nudes to the dog, or like has been sexually harassing the dog, or like, yeah, there's a whole lot of stuff you can get out of that. But yeah.
And how does it feel like to have this as your job? Because before this was a side thing. Like, is there an extra pressure to do well in social media terms, like, you know, get numbers for Joe?
Yeah, I guess there is. There's a bit of a separation though between what Joe does and what I do, mm-hmm. you know. So Joe, like, obviously there are targets and things like that, like set by sales or set by client services or whoever it does that. And obviously I'm happy to hit them, if you know what I mean. But for me, it's kind of my own stuff is a lot more kind of personal.
Yeah.
So there is my job, and I'll do that as best I can, but I won't be personally offended if something doesn't do well or anything like that. Whereas like, if it is my own stuff, it's like, okay, that didn't work. Just, you know, pick yourself up and do something else, you know, so.
Yeah. What was the first social media website you were ever on? Like, and how old were you when you first started using the internet?
I was on Bebo, unbeknownst to my parents, when I was like 12, and then they caught me on it.
Oh no.
And then I went back on it and was on it. Like, they literally didn't catch me after that. So I was on it till I was like 15.
Yeah.
And then I joined Facebook. But yeah, Bebo, and I think we're all on MSN Messenger at that time as well. So yeah, those two things. I never bothered with, like, I think I had a MySpace.
Yeah.
I think I had maybe a Tagged, and I think I had some other one as well, but I can't remember.
What's a Tagged?
Tagged, I think, was like a discount Bebo.
Right.
And I don't remember, like, because there was one friend who was on it, and he was like, oh, this is good. Come on here. And I was like, okay. And then it was shit.
Yeah.
He actually met his girlfriend through it. And right. I was like, okay, well, there's obviously other people on Tagged, but it just didn't.
No, it didn't happen in Navin.
Didn't snag myself a gal, unfortunately, so. Yeah.
And where did you use the internet? Was it like an internet cafe or was it at home?
Oh, it was at home. We had a family computer. So
in the dining room or?
No, it was in the other room. So like not the front room, not the good, like the other room. So yeah.
I'm always obsessed with like the idea of like the mid-90s that like families were like have the computer in a communal area. So you can see what your child is doing.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember I was talking to a lad online, like a stranger, I think on a Morrissey forum. And he was called Cunning Linguist. And I had no idea what that meant.
Oh,
and my
no.
mother was like, who are you talking to? I was like, oh, is this a fan of Morrissey? And she's like, he's a dirty bastard. And I know. And then I had to go, I don't know what Cunning Linguist is. And she was like, really? You don't know? And she was like, disappointed in me. Then I Googled it. Then it was fine. But what was your favourite kind of use of the internet when you were a teenager?
I don't know, actually. Probably like, do you remember Albino Black Sheep? Was that ever a thing?
No. What's
it
that?
It used to be like Flash animations and things like that. And they were really random and really like crude and silly.
Yeah.
But we used to love going on there because they were kind of like edgy and there were swears and things like that. So like,
oh.
Yeah, that was the thing we were absolutely obsessed with. Like,
is that like, what's it called? Is it Newgrounds? Or there was some sort of thing with salad fingers?
Yeah, it's similar. It's similar to that, but it'd be even more bizarre. Like a lot of people would have had the videos as Flash Boxes on Bebo or that kind of thing. Like, but we were absolutely obsessed with it as like teenage boys with like a really fucking stupid sense of humor. So, yeah,
that's pretty cool. I'm just always interested in kind of like because I feel like your creativity goes through the internet, like, and you know how to use it, and like. Was that always apparent to you that, like, you liked the internet or...?
I always liked the idea of putting myself out there without actually having to put myself out there.
Yeah.
You know? So I would have been quite funny or witty on Bebo and stuff.
Yeah.
Or talking to girls online and stuff like that. But in person, I'd be like, hello. Like, you know, or I wouldn't. Like, there were, like, lots of occasions, and I think this happened with lots of guys my age who are a bit shy, and that they'd talk to a girl online but would never speak to her in person,
right?
Like that kind of thing. So it was that kind of just the screen was up and you're able to just do whatever you wanted and be whoever you wanted, and that's kind of what appeals to me about the internet, I guess.
And like the girls knew who you were, kind of thing, or were you behind anonymity?
Oh no, yeah, I they would have known who I was because I walked past the school every day because I lived near the school, not because I just, you know. Hello.
The primary school. No. So and the kind of walls were up when you were chatting to people.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay. And did that ever come down, or at what point did you? I feel like chatting to you, it's grand, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm fine now. I think when I was maybe 18, I dropped out of college when I went to college first. So I was very young, as I was 17.
Right.
And I actually wasn't able to speak to anybody. So it was really bad in that, like, I couldn't make phone calls, I couldn't go into shops, I couldn't go to the gym. And there were lots of kind of areas in my life that were really inhibited by the fact that I was so shy.
Yeah.
And then, I got a bit of help for that and kind of went back to college the next year and was very confident then.
Right.
And that's when I actually got into Twitter, was kind of in that period in between leaving college the first time and then coming back for the second go.
Yeah.
And, you know, I met people there that I hadn't met before, or, you know, meet people online. It was then when I kind of realized I'm actually funny. And it kind of was that little bit of validation I needed to say, like, okay, I can make a good first impression, or these people I'm meeting, I've made a great first impression already. they are going to give me kind of more leeway than your average person I just meet randomly.
Right. And what changed? Like, what did you seek help? Was it like counselling?
Yeah, it was counselling. Yeah, yeah.
Savage. So, cool.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was, I have to say, like, because it was a free counselling service first.
With the college?
Because I went to Galway first and got into that. And then I was like, okay, obviously need to do something about this because it's been an issue for this long and I'd never done anything about it before. And then when it came home, I went privately and then it was like, okay, I'm better, you know?
Yeah.
I'm ready to enter the world again. I've gotten everything off my chest, so I feel good, you know, cool. Back in the way.
And what was your debs like then if you were shy and stuff? Did you have a circle of friends?
I always had friends. Yeah. And I was never bullied or anything like that. So it was never, my secondary school years were very kind of not great, but not terrible either. Yeah. I was never bullied, but I also never felt like I could properly be myself, I don't think. So I always had mates, but they were always kind of, we were always kind of outsiders and stuff like that. But I'm still friends with them now. And it still makes sense that we're friends, which is lovely. You know what I mean? So I have this big group of friends from secondary school. And then I made friends through them with girls, and then I went to the Debs with a very good friend of mine.
Cool. So your Debs is grand.
It was fine. Yeah, it was lovely.
I got stood up at my Debs.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But
that's awful.
I know. It was a lad called, well, I won't say his name, but I invited him because he was gay. I was like, it's a safe pair of hands. Like, because I was so afraid of like lads thinking I wanted to go out with them. He told my sister to tell me that day, that the day of the Debs, that he couldn't come, that he was sick.
Oh no!
And I was getting out of the car in my dress, and I was like, "Well, this is fine."
Did you go anyway?
I went anyway.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, fair play. Like,
and my teacher made him pay for both the tickets. So
good.
I got the free Debs out of it and loads of sympathy.
Yeah.
Like, I got loads of drink that night.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it actually was good.
That's not a bad story as well.
Not a bad story at all.
Rocky start, but
yeah,
he got there. So.
And my cousin Anthony, like, he went to everybody's Debs from when he was about 15 till about, like, 22 when he really shouldn't be going to someone's Debs.
There's always one of those, like, one or two of those guys in the year who, like, went to 7 Debs in one summer.
It's ridiculous.
And it's like, how? How do you know that many
Is
people?
Is it just because they're tall or what?
I don't know. Well, they're usually lads who are, like, sound. Like, were friends with the girls they went with rather than, like, were shifting everybody. Like, some of them were doing that as well. But, like, do you know what I mean?
Because that's a big note, though. I've been to, like, I've had a friend who brought a fella. And he was, like, a mate anyway. But he shifted everybody to Debs and she went mad. She's like, you're ruining my Debs. Yeah, there's like etiquette with the Debs, I feel like. Did you have a band at your Debs?
We did. I think we did, yeah. And it was weird. They always play the same playlist. And it's always the same playlist as a Country 21st.
Yeah.
So you have your classics like Rolling on the River. You've got Rock the Boat.
Yeah.
You've got 9 to 5. You've got, you know, the traffic lights going, like all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah. Oh, it's Mr. Brightside.
Oh yeah, we had that, and we had Maniac 2000 as well. We were
Sex is on Fire. I'll get off the chatting about the Debs and go into the present. And you're making videos now with Try at the moment.
Yeah, so I'm just a tryer that comes on and eats things for money.
what's that like as an experience? I've done a previous incarnation of Try.
Oh,
twice.
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't like the comments, so I stayed off it forever.
I'm finding the comments really weird and that, like, nobody mentions me whatsoever. Like, okay, it's fine if you hate me, but, like, nobody has mentioned me in any of the comments so far. There was one woman who said I was hot, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take
validation.
That's mine. But, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting one in that you have to kind of be yourself, but an amplified version of yourself, if you know what I mean. Like, you have to try and have the crack.
You can't just have a neutral opinion on crisps.
Yeah, you have to be like, these crisps are sexy or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you get the quote in the video. But, like, yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like, I've met some hilarious people doing it. So,
yeah,
it's great. And it's cool, like, to have that kind of network of creative people, like-minded people in Dublin. Do you know what I mean? So that's the best thing about it, I would say.
Have you ever done stand-up?
I started doing a class this year. And what? I was like, yeah, I don't know if it's for me. I don't know.
What's the class like? What are you learning?
It's weird. It's kind of like just getting used to standing up and talking to a group of people.
Okay.
And there's this exercise at the start where it's like, okay, I want you to stand up there and I want you to talk about whatever comes into your head. And the next person's going to come in after you, but we're not going to say when. The person is just going to come in when it feels right. So you're standing there and it could be for 2 seconds. It could be for 2 minutes. It could be for fucking ever before the next person comes in behind you. So you get used to the feeling that you're kind of like, I am out here on my own. Somebody save me, you know. But it's, I think the idea was to kind of get you over that. But I don't know how I want to do stand up. Like, would I do it as a persona? Would I do it as like myself? Or like, do you know what I mean? Because it's quite, you're putting yourself in quite a vulnerable position, I think.
I agree with you.
So I've never done things as myself. I've never done really videos or stuff as myself. It's always been as a character.
Yeah.
So I was like, would it be easier to write a script for a character rather than come out there and be like, here's a funny story, you know?
It depends. Like, there's a lot of like people that do well on the internet that then do live shows and they can do characters or they do it themselves, and it's varying degrees of like success at it, you know?
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting. I think you could do your characters.
I think I could, but I don't necessarily want to. I want it to be something new. I don't want it to be kind of like, here's a list of references to things that you've found funny before. You know, it would have to be new jokes. So, I don't know.
Have you got any more classes left, or what's the teacher
I just stopped doing them because I was like,
yeah,
I don't know if I want this. You know, because there was talk of like an end of term show kind of thing. And I was like, I just shit myself. I was like, no.
Fair play for no one though.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, I kind of, I'm not sure. I was still on the fence about whether I want to do it or not, you know? But as well, like, I've met a few comedians now, and it's always kind of like, the advice is always like, you need to go out there and die on your arse. And that's the best way to learn, I guess.
You do learn more from dying on your arse. It is annoying. It doesn't stop hurting, though.
Yeah.
In that regard. But feck it. I think just go for it. I don't know. It's hard to like plan out someone else's life. I'm just like, because I like when it first started going, when the videos first started going viral and you had these opportunities and stuff, I mean, was there like a pressure on you to like continue getting more viral stuff? Like, what felt like an achievement for you past the first viral video?
I think because I'd done 3.
Yeah.
And with varying degrees of success. And then I was doing the 4th one, and it was the Derry Londonderry one, right? And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to take a weird stance on this, do something really weird. I like Grimes, and I've been trying to like messing with the cover and stuff because I do music on the side as well.
You do music on the side?
Just not like, I'm not going to release anything. It's just like a hobby. And I thought like, okay, I like Grimes. I can sing in a really high voice. That's kind of funny, I guess. So I just added all these elements together. And I was looking at my phone. And I was like, that's so weird. I don't know if I'm going to post that, you know? So I put my phone down. I was like, oh, fuck it. I'll just post it. I've had fun.
Yeah.
And nobody likes it. That's fine. And then I turned my phone off. And then like 45 minutes later, I turned my phone back on. And it was just like, it had gone everywhere, and I was like, what's wrong with people? Like, I don't understand why this is funny. Like,
so that one was like a one that you didn't think was gonna go viral.
Yeah, and that was the big one. And then it was like, okay, well, I'll do some more. And then I kept doing that, and then I suddenly had like 8 kind of videos that had done really well. And it was like, because it's, you know, sometimes you might have one really good one, but the fact that I'd done a few in a row and that somebody was able to make a listicle out of that, which happened like 2 or 3 times, was crazy. I was like, okay, maybe I'm good at this, you know, that kind of way. So that's when I was like, right, okay, I'm gonna just have fun.
It's kind of like sweet validation. You don't need that off stand-up, actually. You're perfectly fine. Because that's the thing about stand-up comedy, is like, you feel sometimes when I do a tweet and I think this is it, this is gonna be the one, and then it never does any numbers. And like one where you're just complaining about something gets numbers, and you're like, I don't want numbers for a complaint.
Yeah.
I want numbers for a joke.
Yeah.
And it's, but like, has there been a tweet that you thought was going to do well and didn't do well?
I think because I've been on Twitter since I was 18. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, there have been tweets where I've been like, this is gas, this is making me laugh, and then it doesn't go anywhere. And I used to delete the ones that didn't do well. So
did
I have
you?
Like, you know, I'd curate my feed depending on numbers. But like,
so it just looked like success.
Yeah. Whereas like now it's kind of like, okay, if I'm laughing at this,
yeah,
fine, I'm leaving it there because it's mine. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I've won there recently. It's like, it's so stupid. Like, but it just made me laugh in that, like, you know, Pokemon Sword and Shield came out.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh yeah, here's a list of titles that my Uncle Dan Nintendo had leaked to me, but he teaches the whole joke was that he teaches grinds, junior cert business grinds,
right.
So it was like Pokemon third party fire and theft. And I got these stupid titles like Pokemon trading profit and loss, and I was just like, I'm enjoying this, I don't care if anyone likes this. It's just like, I'd see how much of junior cert business I can remember and then cram it into Pokemon somehow, you know.
That's like your kind of like side project from your big band or something like that. You're like, I'm doing this for me, you guys.
Yeah.
Pretty art. Pretty art. And with Joe, you got a new kind of like sketch show coming out now?
Yeah, so it's Big Dirty Fridays, and the first one is tomorrow at lunchtime. So we've released a trailer.
Right.
And yeah, I don't know. It's probably a bit darker than the stuff I'm used to doing, because I'm usually very... very light and very kind of wholesome, whereas some of this is a bit, not edgy, but a bit like, that's dark, you know what I mean, which I like. I wanted to kind of push into that anyway, you know.
Yeah Like, what darkness what kind of darkness are we talking?
Death
so. I love jokes about death.
So we'll see. Yeah, there's one, yeah, pretty like, I don't want to say what it is because it'll ruin the whole thing, but like, there's a pretty edgy sketch at the end that I'm still like, okay, I love this and it's ridiculous, but we'll see what people say, you know, that kind of way. So,
and it's kind of interesting that Joe are kind of like stepping in out into making like long form content, even though they've done like chat shows before and stuff, but this feels like a new thing.
Yeah,
like a sketch show.
I mean, they always did kind of sketches and stuff with like the Joe Show and other kind of vehicles they had.
Yeah,
but I think because I'm there now, they're kind of like, we better use him, and we'll use the other talent in the office. It's not just me, it's Carol Kinsella, it's Justine Stafford, it's Kieran Knight, it's Gary Carroll, who does all the editing for the videos and stuff. He's an absolute genius. So it's kind of like getting us all in a room being like, okay, make something. And I just happened to have a sketch kind of format or idea that I was like, I'd like to do this. And they were like, yeah, shit, let's run with that. So here we are, you know.
And what's the writer's room like? Like, how long of a process does it take to make a Big Dirty Friday?
It's like, the first one was quite long because we've only done the pilot so far, and I've got a second one kind of half written. So it's going to be a thing where we're not going to bank loads of them. It's going to be a thing where we do them kind of, you know, as they go, which is kind of good because we can see kind of what works and what doesn't. We can say, okay, I like that, I didn't like that, that worked, that didn't. Not necessarily based on comments or whatever like that, because I don't really read comments on, particularly on Facebook. It's more to do with how we feel about it. So, you know, we might say, oh, I really like this character, let's do more with this person, or that kind of thing. So it's very fluid,
yeah,
I think. But the writer's room, it's kind of, I will come up with the seed of the idea, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will be like, okay, what can we think of around this person? You know, so the thing there, you know, there's a throwaway joke at the start of this one where it's like, you know, there's job losses among full and part-time mad bastards. So it's kind of like, okay, how do we flesh this person out? And then it was this whole thing where like, they're a mature student, you know, that came in after a career in finance, or like, do you know what I mean? Just fleshing this whole kind of tree out, you get jokes out of that.
Yeah,
in that way.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a big brainstorm where it's like, okay, here's a funny concept. Is there anything we can think that's funny around this? So,
yeah, and you film it, I guess, around the offices, is it? Or
we have a green screen, and then we have like kind of an area that we kind of use for like sofas or like real life segments or that kind of thing. So yeah, but it's a basic enough setup, but the guy doing the editing knows his shit, so it's kind of, you know, we can be pretty ambitious with some of the stuff we're doing.
Well, that's good. It sounds like it's like a Republic of Teddy kind of continuation.
Similar enough, I would say. Yeah, yeah. But it wouldn't be as topical. It's quite bizarre. So,
okay.
Yeah, it's free, just off the wall. So
cool. Yeah, because I feel like Republic Teddy kind of, like, kind of not fell down, but like was a victim of kind of relying on other people to make content for them to make fun of, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I think like lots of shows like that, it depends on what's come out. So if you've a huge kind of reliance on topical stuff.
Yeah.
sometimes some weeks it mightn't be that great, you know. So I remember Harry Hill's TV Burp was one of my favourite shows ever growing up. And kind of he kind of drifted into doing stuff that was on ITV2, like Pineapple Dance Studios, or kind of shows that were really weird anyway, and he was kind of just taking easy shots at them rather than actually like watching an episode of EastEnders or Casualty or something that's kind of heartbreaking and making a like a funny ridiculous joke about that. So like I think it's like I'd rather not rely on topicality because it can date then afterwards.
And what kind of stuff what did you want to be when you were younger? Actually,
I
feel like probably kids now would like to be like content makers and stuff now.
Yeah,
and that job didn't exist when you were like, you know, a young lad.
Yeah, I think I always wanted to write sketches anyway, so I'm kind of like that's a box ticked for, you know, 10-year-old Michael Fry. You know, because I remember watching like Little Britain and stuff like that when I was like 11 or 12, probably too young to be watching that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I was like, God, I'd love to do something like that. Yeah. And when I was in fifth class, I wrote a play. I wrote like a pantomime version of Aladdin. And
when you were in fifth class?
Yeah, and my teacher was like, yeah, let's do it. So we just fucking ran with it. Like, so.
What?
Yeah, it was crazy. And I wrote and directed this play. It was terrible. But
in
like,
fifth class?
In fifth class, yeah.
Did you play anyone in it?
I cast myself the lead role as as the genie. And I sang I Want to Break Free by Queen. So,
oh my gosh.
So yeah, I love that somebody would take a punt on me like that. Like no other teacher did that through the whole of my schooling, I don't think. It was just like, yeah, do you know what? Do it. And it was just like, okay. So
that
I saw something from
amazing.
The start to the end. So
was there like politics involved in the casting, or did you have a hand in the casting?
I cast everybody, yeah.
You cast everybody.
So I gave people who didn't usually get big parts.
And you're very good.
You know what I mean? So setting the world to rights.
Beautiful.
He's still Evan, so yeah.
And was that replacing the school nativity that year? Or was that just, where was
I think
it shown?
We were supposed to be doing a nativity, and then it just kind of, production was delayed somehow until like April or something like that. So we had a few kind of stagings of it or whatever. It was just bizarre. Like it was, yeah.
Wow, you had a pantomime in April.
Yeah.
And
I think that was it. Yeah, it was really late on anyway, like.
That's a lot of responsibility to have.
Oh, but I loved it. You know, I love being in charge. Like it was just great. Like
what kind of what other bits of music did you pick? Like I Want to Break Free is such a like kids like choice of music.
Yeah,
you know?
It was based on like my dad's compilation CDs that he probably got from the paper. so it was like Girls Just Want to Have Fun by Cyndi Lauper and the fast food song, do you remember by
Pizza Hut.
Ridiculous, like.
So you choreographed that. Was there like a dance routine for that?
Oh yeah, the girls in the class decided to take it upon themselves to choreograph stuff, which is great. Like, so everybody got involved. It was like people made costumes. It was just like
wow,
a big kind of class project that everyone just seemed to get behind, and it was great. Like, so.
So were you were you like a performing kid in primary school and then got shy in secondary?
Yeah, I think so. So yeah, I wasn't very confident. I think in primary school. I went to like stage school and like all that kind of stuff.
You went to stage school?
I did, yeah.
Amazing.
I wasn't very good. Because it was all about dancing and I couldn't dance. So
yeah.
I could sing.
Did you have to do that thing where there's like a very multicolored kind of sheet and you lift it up like a parachute? No?
No, not really. It was very kind of, because the guy who owns it, Spotlight, is what it is. It's still going now. Like,
yeah.
And they're very kind of, it's very much like, because your man who runs it, I think, was in Billy Barry or whatever. So it was very strict and it was very kind of like, they had massive shows and they brought kids from Carlo to perform an Ara show and stuff like that. So it
shipped
was just
them in.
This whole thing. It was just like a massive kind of production.
Yeah.
So it was very, very serious, but like, you know, they've rarely did acting, they rarely did singing, and they, you know, I'm so bitter about it now. They always pick the same kids to do those things. Like,
yeah,
so.
The kids that were like good at dancing.
Yeah, so if you're good at dancing, you could basically do anything. You know what I mean? That's as far as they were concerned. Or you were a confident child, you could do anything.
Like when I was a kid, the internet and stage school, like I always wanted to go to stage school when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I could always go for maybe 2 months. And then, like, because my dad's a builder, money would run out. And the first luxury to go would be the drama school. And then the phone would get cut off, so I wouldn't have my dial-up internet.
Oh, no.
So, but I remember actually being pissed off whenever a dance was on. I was like, there's so much we can learn, like, with acting and stuff. But That's funny. Did you do nativity plays outside of pantomimes?
I did, and there was the year before that, and this is probably the reason I cast myself in the leading role, is that the year before that I was cast as a narrator because I'm a good reader.
Yeah.
And that was always the case. I was cast as Jesus in the communion play as well.
Communion play?
Because I was a very good reader. So it was myself and this other kid who was really bold.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, we better choose him as Jesus because the other child is like the devil. I always got parsed. Like, I was always the narrator and I just thought that was so boring. And there's like pictures of me, I think I was 10 at the time, and I'm visibly furious that I'm having to just narrate stuff and I can't be a character. You know what I mean? So it was quite a dry nativity play. It was just really,
I know. Nativity plays generally are very dry.
Yeah, well, it depends on what's in them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
what costume did you have to have as a narrator?
I just wore a big top hat.
A top hat?
A top hat, and I was wearing a black shirt and black trousers. So myself and this other girl who was very good at reading.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not acting, I'm just telling a story. Like, you know, I was so mad.
This is beneath me.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I was just like, I want to have a personality. Like,
Well, I feel for you as a kid.
Did you ever dream of being a perfect Wakefield twin?
Let us show you what a terrible idea that is.
I'm Anna Carey.
I'm Karen Moynihan.
And on Double Love, we take you through the strange and terrifying world of classic 80s teen book series Sweet Valley High, book by book. Join us every second Thursday for a new episode.
I don't know why I'm asking you so much stories about your childhood. It's not the childhood show, but school tours. Where did you go on school tour?
Oh, we went to Fort Lucan, that I kind of vaguely remember because I lost my money at it and was really upset when I was like 6.
Yeah.
I think we did this one called the Athlone Adventure Day, where we just went to Athlone and we're on like a Viking ship.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think we went to some arcade, or I think we went to a famine museum as well. It was a really random one.
In Athlone?
Yeah.
Oh, I know. It's probably the one outside Moat. There's like a Cronogue there.
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah.
I've never been to that. And like, I went to secondary school very near it. And
I have no memory of it whatsoever, so maybe it wasn't great.
I don't think so. And a Viking tour.
Yeah, it was really, I don't know. Again, really dry. That was that teacher that year was just, I don't think, had much imagination. So it was just, I don't know.
I know. Yeah. It's like a good tour can make your whole year, you know?
Yeah.
Did you serve much? I'm presuming you're Catholic, or you were.
I love the way you know I'm an altar server already. I was absolutely an altar server. Like,
right.
I love that was the question. Like,
what's your favorite job as an altar server?
Probably like the wine and the water. That was always great.
That was good. I liked the bell.
Oh,
there was
pressure. Missed you know? It. Just completely just zoned out. Didn't ring the bell.
I know. It feels like you're a sound engineer and you're missing your cues. You know. The water and the wine is good. That's like low pressure.
And I loved seeing like which priest would do mainly wine and which one would do mainly water. So there'd be one priest who'd like just pour the wine in there and then just be like a bit of water for show.
Yeah.
Whereas some of the other ones would be like just like cordial, like all water and then like a drop of wine. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
You'd be like, you're such a dry. You know what I mean? Like, and even as a 10-year-old, you'd be like, Jesus. Like, you know, so.
Just drink the drink. it must be actually, if you're a recovering alcoholic and a priest, it must be quite a hazardous job.
You can use non-alcoholic wine.
Can you?
I guess you could, yeah. I don't think it has to be like real wine, does it?
But how?
It's symbolic as well. Oh, sorry, it's Catholicism. It isn't symbolic at all.
There's no symbols. Everything is literal.
Yeah, so I don't know. I suppose you could, yeah. I don't know the rules on that.
Yeah, me neither. They must have, because they used to have gluten-free communion and now that's gone.
So I think some places they do.
But the Pope has specifically like...
Oh, he's banned it, has he?
He hasn't banned it, but he's like, that's bullshit, guys. You can't.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I know.
That's kind of excluding a group of people, isn't it? I don't know. It's a kind of. Yeah.
Maybe Jesus is in the gluten. Maybe that's like the part. You know?
That's the holiest bit of the gluten.
It's the gluten. It's the sweet gluten. I'm totally not letting you tell your bits about like being a server, though. Like, apart from the water and the wine, like, what else did you get up to?
You'd carry a big cross. Confirmations was, I think, because it was such a marathon, I remember it being good crack. Because you'd be there all day with like kids who were your age who were like also funny and that kind of thing. So I remember that being fun, or Easter as well. Easter, actually, the one where you all put your hoods up and you light the candles and you walk in the dark was like my favourite thing ever.
I never did an Easter one.
Oh, it was like the Easter vigil. So it was like the Saturday night one, because nobody wants to go to Mass on Sunday morning anymore. It's always just like, we'll get it out of the way so we don't have to bring the kids away from whatever they're doing on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So that one was like cool, really dark and really cool. And they did a blessed fire outside and it was just like mental.
Mate.
Pagan shit. Like, so.
Did you ever have the priest wash your feet? That was a ritual around Easter.
No, that's never happened to me.
My mom would make me wash my feet before the priest would wash my feet.
Yeah, that's so, like, it's kind of like courtesy. It's like brushing your teeth before you go to the dentist. Like,
just to go like, look at me, I look after my feet so well. Yes, I floss, you know. And kind of, a bit of coffee.
I'm also going to take a drink of blue liquid.
Oh, Lord. Have you ever been to a Denny's?
Yes.
What's a Denny's like?
Interesting. It's kind of like very wholesome food, but you know it's incredibly bad for you at the same time.
Yeah.
So I think I got a meatloaf at the time.
A meatloaf?
Yeah. So when I was like 13 and 14, like, we never went on foreign holidays apart from visiting my dad's family in England. We went to America like twice. So, and they were class, like really just, my dad went all out. So we went to like Disneyland, we went to like fucking San Francisco, Boston, Cape Cod, like all over the place. And like the two best holidays like I've ever had were those two things. But we went to Denny's a few times over there. Because it's kind of just like, it's like a meal and it's kind of just like a dinner.
Mm.
It's probably the most kind of homely. It's not like a burger or something like that. It's kind of, it feels like a proper dinner, even though it's probably just as bad, if not worse, to you than a burger. Like, so.
Yeah, I've always been like curious about the pancakes and stuff and like the refills of coffee. I've never considered it to be a dinner place.
Yeah, that's what we did anyway. It was kind of, I remember eating the mashed potato and thinking like, this is going into my arteries like this. This is just pure congealed fat. Like,
it's too smooth.
it was just like thick in like not a good way, you know what I mean? Like, really kind of like stodgy and like full of something that you're like, oh God, this isn't good.
That is, what else do you remember about America apart from the feeling you were going to have a heart attack?
We went to like 9 parks, I think, in Orlando. And that was, I love roller coasters, like a lot. My brothers don't really.
Yeah.
So I would do all of them. And I was always that kind of thing. It's like, okay, I'm not the best at doing sports or whatever, but you know what? I'm going to prove my masculinity by getting on a roller coaster and doing something really scary that I know is completely safe. So I did all the roller coasters. I remember this one in like this water park called Bombay. So it was like you stood on the top of this slide and the floor of this thing dropped underneath you and you went down like this near vertical slide.
Wow.
And it was terrifying, but it was class. Like, it was so cool. So it was only me and my dad did it. My two brothers chickened out, so class.
Nice. You felt brave.
I did, yeah.
What's your most tenuous link to a very big news story?
Okay, I don't know, actually.
Like, has anything ever happened in the news? I've taken a piss beside the woman that nearly killed her husband, Lion Eyes, in the forecourts. I think I've said this on the podcast before. So that's just to give you a taste.
Oh, actually, I do have a tenuous thing.
Yes!
My dad's friend has a holiday home in Portugal. Specifically in Pre-Delusion in Portugal. Like, so in the actual resort that Madeleine McCann was kidnapped. So I went there on holidays when I was like 17 or whatever. So and they've been going for years because, you know, obviously it was hugely popular before all that happened. And it's lovely. You can see exactly why. And I probably liked it because it was so quiet, I guess.
Okay.
But I guess it was like tourism was just destroyed down there because of what happened.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, it was so quiet. And we were in, like, we didn't go to the tapas bar that they were in, but you could see the distance between the tapas bar and the actual apartments.
How far was it?
It's far. You know, it's not, I don't, like, at the time I was thinking, if I was a parent, I don't know if I would do that, you know?
Okay, yeah.
But I don't know the ins and outs of the whole thing, how they organised that or what they were doing there. You know, I'm not going to cast any aspersions.
Parents.
No, I'm not going to, do you know what I mean? But it's, it was weird to see that, I think.
And what was the atmosphere like there?
I mean, people are lovely. You know what I mean? Like, they're
were they
just...
like, "Hello, come in. Sorry about Madeleine McCann."
Not really. I think we were in contact with people who my dad's friend had known for a very long time, so bar owners and all that kind of stuff. You know,
okay.
And they were delighted to have the custom, I think. But at the same time, because they assumed we were all English, I think there's still a bit of coldness there. You know, that kind of thing. You know, I think just Europeans have that with English people. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know it was lovely. It was just a really nice place to go, you know.
Oh my gosh, still that's cool.
Yeah.
What about your closest brush with death?
It was actually last year. So I went I forget what it's called, like kind of abseiling in a waterfall. What's that called? Canyoning, right. In Vietnam. And there was this kind of, I think it was like a 14 meter drop or something like that from a waterfall into some water.
14 meters, cool. I'm visualizing it.
Very high.
So that's is that like three quarters of a 14 or 40?
14, I think.
14. So that's like a double-decker house.
Yeah.
So quite a two-story house.
Quite a big drop, you know, like so high that you could die.
Absolutely.
So I did it the first time. And it was fine. And it was like, Jesus, that's crazy. And then I was like to my friend, again doing that thing where it's like, I'm a bigger man here. Will we do it again? And my friend be like, because I knew he was scared of one of the other ones. And he's always like doing that thing where it's like, oh, come on, have another pint. Like that kind of way, like call me soft. And I was like, you know what? I was like, will we do it again? And he's like, yeah, okay. He did it, right? And I did it and I kind of hesitated. And I was like, fuck. And your man's like, the jumping guy was like, okay, if you're doing this, you have to do it. And you're up here now, you can't get back down. And I was like, okay. So I did it, and I jumped, and I was just a bit too cautious, and I kind of just about cleared the side of the mountain. And I got into the pool, or got into the whatever thing underneath, and I hit the bottom, but not like really hard, if you know what I mean. But I was just like, if I was maybe a foot further back, I would have really hurt myself.
Oh, so Jesus.
That's kind of one of those things where you think, oh my God, why did I do that? Do you know what I mean? It was so reckless and stupid. Like, so.
And what's Vietnam like to go on holiday?
Lovely. I was really stressed out the first few days because it's so, everyone's on top of you and it's really busy and like everyone's just kind of, it's really hot as well, like really, really warm. Like humid, like you're sweating constantly, like, and we were really jet lagged when we got over first, so the first few 2 days were like hell. But like, and we were in Ho Chi Minh as well, which is kind of very busy and very dirty. We went to a zoo that was like full of rats, and it was like, we were like, okay, we didn't choose our destinations very well there. But once you get out of that, once you get into the smaller towns like Hoi An or Hanoi, or, you know, Hanoi is the capital obviously, but like it's smaller than Ho Chi Minh, but it's really nice, you know what I mean? And the people are so sound, they'll do anything for you. I never once felt kind of unsafe or whatever, so great. Really, really cool. They're just really kind of odd in their own ways, and so are we, you know, so it's kind of
nice.
Yeah.
Who did you base your radio sketches on? Is there any specific
so DJ? My parents used to listen to News Talk every morning, right? Yeah. So I think it's a combination of Chris Donahue, Matt Cooper and Pat Kenny, I think, is the kind of voice, because there is just a radio voice that people have.
Yeah, you know, and the cadence.
It's the cadence. And I was kind of asking people why that is, or I was kind of wondering why that is, and I realised it's because when you're reading something out, it's a lot easier to kind of think while you're speaking, while you're talking, like a radio host, and you can kind of slow yourself down a little bit and then continue your sentence.
You know, it's oh, you just did that!
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Would you ever think of going into radio yourself?
I don't know, actually. It's one of those things where you are putting yourself on the radio. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't think... Okay, like, I like to think of myself as informed about certain topics, but I don't want to be one of those presenters who gets slated because he doesn't know what he's talking about and he's arguing with somebody, or I don't want to be too biased, or there's that kind of little thing in your head where you're like, I don't want to be awful at this. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I feel like radio kind of consists a lot of like conflict.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember I was on BBC Radio 4 on the Today Show, and it's like what's his name, John Humphreys, and we're talking about comedy, should there be like limits on what comedians can talk about, And they got an older comedian on and then me on to talk. We both agreed with each other, essentially.
Yeah.
And like the presenter was like, but really, like, he was trying to give a differing opinion. And it's funny, I just knew that that wasn't his real opinion.
Yeah,
It was just for a bit of conflict.
Like, I like the idea of being balanced, if you know what I mean. But yeah, what I don't like is the strand at the moment of hiring these professional kind of devil's advocate characters, which is what's happening to The Tonight Show. It's just become this thing where it's like, we're going to get these awful people on and we're going to create loads of engagement online. And we're going to, you know, people are going to be mad at us because we've brought these terrible people on in the name of balance. You know,
yeah.
I don't like that, you know, and I wouldn't want to bring on someone who's really controversial just for the sake of an argument. You know, no. I don't like the idea of that.
I used to love watching like Vincent Brown. And the level of engagement where I would get so angry, I was like, I just can't watch news programs anymore.
Yeah, I don't want to turn it on and be assaulted by Ivan Yates calling us all snowflakes. It's that kind of way. Like, I have a weird kind of soft spot for Ivan Yates because he was on the radio in the morning so much, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I know him or something like that. Do you know what I mean? But I just don't like that kind of, like, willful ignorance and like behaving like an old man just to get, you know,
a reaction
out of people. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, and it's just, it's not like I just don't feel like it's a real situation anymore to be like, you know, millennials or snowflakes. And millennials are old now. Like,
yeah, well, when is the cutoff point? Because I was having this discussion with my brother there recently. I've heard it's 1996.
Yeah,
but I'm not sure. So I feel like I'm still a millennial, but
yeah. But
like, just barely, if you know what I mean.
I'm just on the edge
of Generation Y or whatever the next one is.
Yeah, and what is Generation Y? Like, all my sisters are not millennials. I'm like, they're all born past 1996.
Yeah, and my younger brother, he's 17 now. He would be, yeah, he's different to me, but I think it's because he's grown up with the internet.
Yeah. You know,
there was a time in our lives where there wasn't really internet, when it was just becoming, like, social media was just becoming a thing when we were in our teens.
Yeah,
whereas,
yeah,
like, he has always had it, and it's weird in that, like, kids have had social media accounts since they were maybe 9 or 10, whereas we never had that. You know, we were lucky to have a phone at 9 or 10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I got a phone on my confirmation.
Yeah. I think I got one at like 11. I was actually really young. It's only because my neighbour was giving hers away for free.
Oh, happy
that I was
Dave.
Like, can I just have that one? And my mum was like, yeah, I guess that's okay, you know.
What was your first phone?
It was like, you know, the one where you could cut your own covers?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, and it had the weird, like, oval buttons and stuff like that.
Did
you
have WAP?
I think I did, yeah, and I cost my parents loads of money by accident. or whatever it was, yeah.
Yeah, I had, like, a WAP and a Lord of the Rings. What would they call it? You know, instead of, like, Vodafone or O2 or Tree, it would have like the whatever the network thing was. I had a little Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings. Like, it was just, it looked
I think
pretty.
I had one because the girl who had it before me had pre-installed loads of stuff she'd bought off like catalogs and stuff.
Nice.
And one just said sexy, and I put it on thinking it was a joke. And my parents were like, that's completely inappropriate. You got that on your phone, like, you're a child. So
I loved the word sex when I was a kid as well. I used to like write it on like lampposts and stuff. Like, it's the rudest thing possible. I heard you on Juvenalia.
Yeah.
And I want to do a director's commentary.
Okay.
Like, with Harry Potter, you didn't go to the midnight buy-ins or anything.
No,
like that.
My friend who was also obsessed with them was the second child in line once, and then the first child the year after that. But I was never, yeah. My parents were like, that's insane, why are you doing that? You know what I mean? So
it's like with my friends with Harry Potter, I always thought Harry was, spoiler, I always thought Harry was a I knew Harry was a horcrux, like, and I was like,
oh right.
I told my friends and they were like, that's not gonna happen. And then when the last book came out and I read it, I like texted all my friends and was like, I fucking told you. Like, how dare you not think. What was your theories about Harry Potter?
It was before I think I even thought about fan theories or whatever. Like,
yeah.
You know, I think we had ideas about how it would end, who would marry who. We all kind of knew Ron and Hermione would get together. Harry, I thought Harry would go back to Cho Chang.
I thought that too. I didn't see Ginny
and
at all.
I don't like him and Ginny as a thing at all. I think it's weird, you know? So
it is, but I think it's a bit neat.
It is, yeah. It's too, yeah, I think we said this in Ginny.
Yeah, sorry.
It's just too, like, small. It makes the world really small for them when it's just not realistic.
It makes them feel like they're in a village. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And it's like, imagine if you like just ended up married to whoever you were with when you were like 16. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
You'd have no life experience.
No, yeah, exactly.
You'd have like, no stories to tell each other about your childhood because you both know it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I regret asking about Harry Potter. What else were you into?
I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was actually going to talk about the movie Mulan on Juvenile.
I love Mulan.
It is my
favorite.
Why
couldn't you talk about... Okay.
I don't know. I was kind of like, maybe we'll come back. I was like, I'll come back and talk about that again. They're like, yeah, cool. And I was like, maybe they're not going to invite me back. I don't know.
I felt like that with going on Juvenilia, where I really wanted to talk about The Sims.
Yeah.
After, because I did chat rooms as my one. And then Caroline O'Donoghue did The Sims.
Oh,
and I'm like,
no.
It's gone.
Yeah, I was so surprised no one took Harry Potter that I was like, I'm taking that. That's mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think Mulan's a very kind of, it feels quite niche, but it was like one of those films I watched over and over and over again. Like, I probably know vast sections of the dialogue from, you know, so.
It's incredible, isn't it? Like, even I love the way Donny Osmond did the singing.
Oh my God. And it's such a good song. I still have that on my playlist.
Let's get down to business.
To defeat the Huns.
And it sent me daughters.
Did I ask for daughters? Or did I ask for sons? You're the saddest lot I've ever met. And you haven't got a clue. Mr. I'll make a man out of you.
That's the wrong bit, but yeah, it's an amazing. Is that like your favorite Disney film?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Mulan's up there. I can't decide between that and the Aristocats for me.
Oh, my dad told me he saw the Aristocats 3 times in the cinema when he was 9. I was like, that's insane.
What? Legend. What a, I can totally understand why he did that.
Yeah, it's great to be fair. Like, but,
oh, mate, yeah. I really got into warm milk off Aristocats. And then Butler used to make the milk with like nutmeg and stuff.
Oh,
and
I tried to
do that same recipe, but it didn't happen.
Because I studied French.
Yeah.
And on my, because I had a French playlist before I went to the French exam or was studying French or whatever. And one of them is the Aristocats theme tune in French by Maurice Chevalier. So it's like, every time I hear it now, I just get flashbacks of my. Quels sont les chats qui habitent en grand quartier? And then it goes on. Like, so.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is the shit. Now I'm animated. Now I'm like. Mulan was great. Was there any other kind of like, what was the first thing you see in the cinema that you just went, wow, actually?
Probably that. Went to see that for my 6th birthday, I think. But then, I don't know, The Incredibles was one I really loved. Because I loved superheroes and it was kind of like accessible superheroes and there was like an ice-powered man and it was like just really cool.
It's funny as well.
Yeah, and like the soundtrack is great. You know, it's
the
just
soundtrack.
A really good film. Yeah.
I don't remember anything about the soundtrack.
It's like big band, kind of bombastic, kind of, you know, really cool action-y music. It's great.
Yeah. I was like, was it a musical? I was like, I can't remember anything from it. I remember I saw Mrs. Doubtfire in the cinema. How old are you?
I'm 25.
So I'm 29. And like, I feel like, when your kid's like 4 years is a massive difference, do you know?
Yeah. I get that as well, yeah, because it's weird now when work, in that there's people who sit beside me who are like maybe 35 or 36 and it doesn't feel like that big a gap. But I think when I was younger, my younger brother is like 2 years younger than me and I thought that was a gulf. We would never cross paths or anything like that. Whereas like now I've mates who are like maybe 3 years younger than me or like even like 10 years older than me. It's really kind of like, it's bizarre once you become an adult, I think.
Yeah, no, that's true. Or like, my boyfriend is 6 years older than me. And once we were just going through our mutual Facebooks, this is like early on, just to go through pictures and go, this one's cool or whatever. And then he sent me a picture of me in sixth class in like a big like group school shot. And he's like, I was going to college. I was just leaving to go to college at that stage.
Oh, when you think of it like that, it's like, that's terrifying.
I mean, it should be illegal. The age gaps like that should be illegal. But I'm a bad girl, so it's fine. Jesus, I'm sorry.
This took a turn.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? So, like, what kind of I was gonna say, what makes you happy?
Twitter.
Yeah.
I love Twitter. I don't know. Jokes. Things that are funny, things that are really like wholesome shit. So like on Facebook I only follow Ireland Simpsons fans. There's a page about doggos. And there's burbs. So it's like a bird page. It's just
right.
Like, I love that shit. Like stuff that's like objectively, this is lovely.
Yeah.
That
kind
of stuff.
Objectively lovely content.
Yeah.
The Irish Simpsons fans thing seems to have blown up loads. Like before, when I last looked at it, like if someone got 1,000 likes, I'd be like, that's done really well. But now it's like 4,000.
You can get 4,000. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. It's but crazy.
I loved it when it was such a niche thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I mean, some of your friends are on it or whatever. And now it's like, it's huge. And it's still fantastic, but it's still fantastic. I miss that kind of, you know, warm, I'm part of a group feeling. You know what
I mean? Totally, totally. It felt like at some stage, like, it was just the funniest thing in the world. And then, like, lads who like pints got involved a bit.
Yeah.
But I don't want to shit on it. I'm happy for their success.
There's loads of funny ones where it's just random screen grabs and a quote that's just not even vaguely related to The Simpsons. Like, there's one of, like, you know that clip of Milhouse coming out of the mattresses?
Yeah.
And he says, it smells funny in there. And your man goes, no, it doesn't, right? There's somebody who put coppers over the mattresses. And Milhouse coming out being like, it smells like Fanny in there. And I just thought it was so funny because it's so fucking immature. Like,
it's like, but coppers smell like just dirty mop water, I feel. Like, it's the...
Coppers is like that's probably one of my circles of hell, I would say, in that, like, it is just a massive country nightclub in the middle of the city, and it's like expensive, and I just don't get it. Like, I don't know.
I don't like me too, and I really love the country, and I love Dublin. And like, I remember my friends from Westmead, because I think Coppers got famous off the back of Republic Telly. I think there was just a lot of jokes about Coppers on Republic Telly, and my friends were like, "We need to go to this Coppers place." And I brought them, and we left within 20 minutes. I think one of my friends got her tit felt by some prick. I just like covered in mop water, and I was like, we'll just leave.
That's what it is to me. It's just dreadful. Yeah. I mean, I remember one of my female friends going to me, is like, can you pretend to be my boyfriend for a little while? And I was like, why? And then she's like, no, look around you. And I'm like, there's these eyes just like literally just circling, kind of dancing, but also leering at her at the same time. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Like,
how many times have you had to pretend to be someone else's boyfriend?
It's happened a few times. Yeah. I know. I was felt up on Coppers once, and that was kind of like, wow, get away from me.
Oh my God. Do you create like a backstory? I've never had to pretend to be someone's girlfriend before, but if I did, I feel like I would make up a relationship for us. You know, like how we met.
No, it was literally just like, she was like, just like would hold my neck or something. I would be like, okay, we're obviously a couple here. You know what
I mean? Yeah.
So that signals to the other males that you own this woman.
She's taken. I own her. Please don't cut her up. Jesus Christ. Did you get a gold card for Coppers, or someone in Joe did?
I did not, and I don't think I would want one.
I don't think you're going to get one now either. A ringing endorsement.
They'd just be like, you're not coming in. I'd be like, you know what, fair. I don't want to be here anyway.
My friends have been refused from Coppers, and like, then had to get a coffee for them. And when you think about it, it's like, why am I working so hard to get in here?
Yeah, and it's like €12 as well. It's like real expensive to get in. And then you're in there, and it's like, oh my God. I'm breathing in other people's sweat right now. That is the vibe of Coppers. Like, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, it's like they got the air out of an Orion airplane and then funneled it into, you know, that weird kind of
makes people
like,
extra horny.
Yeah, extra.
You know when you're on a Ryanair flight and you're just like, oh yeah, you know.
You're like, it's going to crash. I'm going to fuck someone.
And there's someone beside me being like, can you pretend to be my boyfriend for a little while? There's other men in the seats leering at me.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Well, now I am going to go because I need a pee.
Yeah, so do I, actually.
It was so lovely chatting to you, Michael.
It
Thank
was
you
great.
So much.
I had a wonderful time.
Thank you very much for listening to the Alison Spittle Show with me, Alison Spittle. Right, what have I got for you coming up soon, tour-wise? Well, on the 21st, so that's going to be tomorrow, I'm in Clonakilty doing my tour. On the 22nd, I got two shows in Coughlin's in Cork. The 9 o'clock show is sold out, so we're going for 7:30. And I think, excuse the siren there, I live in a city. I won't, yeah, it's gone now. And the earlier show, I think it's got 20 tickets left the last time I checked. So please come along to that. Then I got Angel Comedy Club. Oh my God, on the 25th. That's no time at all. I need to promote that. Right, Angel Comedy Club. I'm doing a preview of Alison Spittle, Mother of Christ. That's going to be my new show in Edinburgh. And this will be the first ever preview of that show. So please come along. Janie, I have to work hard now. At that, I thought, nah, look, Alison, time. Time is a concept. You're going to be grand. Then I'm presenting The Guilty Feminist in Vicar Street with Deborah Frances White. So I'm very excited about that. Then I'm getting my PPI number. You can't come along to that. Then on the 30th of March, I'm going to be in Vicar Street. Very, very, very excited about that. Please come along. Tickets are selling grand. So yeah, please come along to that. And then on the 29th, I'm doing Alison Spittle Makes a Show of Herself in Glasgow. Then on the 4th of April, I'm going to be in Lazy Dog in Bristol. And then the Landor Theatre on the 5th of April. And then on the 13th of April, I'm going to be doing Moth Knock Two Bag. It's in London. Go check that out. And then I am doing a gig in Mayo on the 20th of April. And then on the 26th of April, I'm doing a gig in Two North Down. And that's another preview of Alison Spittle, Mother of Christ. Then I'm doing Macclanwith Festival on the 5th of May. And I am doing some festivals then after. Okay, lads, that's all. Thank you very much to Sarah Garvey for making this podcast. Thank you very much to Bobby Ahern from No Monster Club for making the podcast music. Thank you very, very much to Alan and Paddy from Headstuff who helped make it too. Thank you very much to William Conway who did the artwork. And also, just wanted to quickly say, this is what I wanted to talk about. I got some really good podcasts in the bag. I'm really excited about them. There's one guest that got beaten up by Courtney Love and she talks about that. And I think I'm going to bring that one out next because it's going to be good crack. And then I got another guest. Oh, anyway, look, stay tuned to the podcast. If you could rate and review it, I would really appreciate it. Because I haven't asked you to do that in ages, and I don't know where to, I don't have iTunes. I don't know how this podcast is doing. I just put it out, so I hear other podcasts say, you know, you should rate and review it. I've been doing this podcast for a couple of years, and Sarah's been with me from the start, and I really, really like doing it. And thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you soon. And I used to do hashtag apricot parody. Well, you know, I'll tell you this story if you're still listening now as a treat. So I was in the airport a few weeks ago and I had my headphones in so I couldn't properly understand how loud I was or anything. I was just looking at this dog in the middle of the duty free, just take a big smelly shit in front of the Dior perfumes, and I just forgot there was people around, and I started laughing and pointed at the dog, and went, look at that dog taking a shit. And then I looked away from the dog and looked up towards the woman who was kneeling down on the ground with a plastic bag in her hand, ready to pick up the shit, just looking at me like I had taken a shit on the floor. I ran away. I felt really bad. So thank you very much for listening. I'll see you soon. Have a lovely day. Bye. And go to Glasgow Comedy Festival and whatever. Do whatever the fuck you like. Why am I listening? Anyway. Oh, I'm on this show called... I'm on this show called Celebrity Globetrotters. And it's good crack. I'll tell you more about that next time. Because I have someone on from it. Which one? I don't know. Ooh. Well, I do know, but you don't know. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.